morning birds. Ooh, somebody's got wind chimes. All right. Oh. Birds, something just... it's such a small thing, but it's such a big thing. I just cleared a paper jam right before we were supposed to go on the air here. The lights are blinking and the... Hear the train coming in. The clock was counting down, and I printed off all this stuff I wanted to share with you this morning. And I said, oh no. But I got in there, birds, and I followed the little, you know, the directions. And it shows you to do the thing. Anyway, I cleared it. How about that? Cool, huh? This is the era of small victories. Let's take it easy here. It's halfway through the week here. It's Wednesday. Today is the 3/31/21. Boy, the numbers are neat this year in the calendar, at least this time of the year. It is the last day of March. Tomorrow is the 1st of April. And you're here, and thanks for joining us. We're live and in color. It's Gary Lee Wright from Pirate Radio in Chicago. Really a beautiful, sunny day. I had to look at the temp. It was it's about 43. It's not real warm, but it's very, very sunny here. Anyway, we're in a pretty good mood this morning. I hope you are ready for a day here. Let's see here. We're going to talk cheese today. What? We are. You said that you couldn't live without cheese. You're singing my song. I talked to Cesar Luis, who's a cheesemaker in Wisconsin. We'll have him live this morning. Comments, questions about cheese, send me something. It's radioanything@gmail.com, radioanything@gmail.com. We'll chat him up. All right, so that's coming up today. Let's see here. President Joe Biden is about to detail a $2 trillion plan to fix infrastructure and reshape the economy. What color gray are those bridges going to be? You know what? It's really hard to make that kind of stuff sexy, but man, it is so important. It is so important. This stuff's falling apart. I got a paper jam, and we got 20,000 miles of roads that are in disrepair. 10,000 bridges. All this is going to address climate change and racial inequities. Big deal. The proposal, which relies on corporate tax increases, would push federal investment in research and infrastructure to levels not seen since the 1960s. Hello, boomers. Yeah, boomers. Yeah, that was... America looked around and fixed stuff. We haven't... So 1960s, what is that? What was that, 60 years ago? All right, maybe time to repaint stuff. You know, we'll try to at least alert you to what's going on here and let you know that we support Joe and Kamala. Chicago is going to open two mass vaccination sites next week, one at a conference center next to, and this is a new thing, I hadn't seen this phrase before, the Wrigley Field campus. A building which we will have a little bit of a virtual tour of today. Tomorrow's opening day for the Cubs. So anyway, max vaccination site at Wrigley Field. The other one at Chicago State University, according to Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Sites are going to open next Monday. Chicago State will serve up to 1,200 walk-up, 1,000 drive-through vaccination appointments a day. I check that out. And then Advocate Aurora Health is going to operate a site at the. I don't have my corporate sponsors nailed down here. At the American Airlines Conference Center at Gallagher Way, next to Wrigley Field. I know what American Airlines is. I knew there was a conference center. Gallagher Way is this new thing that is over there. I don't even know what that is. Maybe the Gallagher's was in on the. I'm Shameless right now. It must be a different place. Anyway, they're going to have the capacity to administer about 2,000 doses a day. And, yeah, that's going on. So, also in the COVID news, Pfizer and BioNTech said their COVID vaccine prevented symptomatic disease and was well tolerated in a phase 3 study of adolescents. 12 to 15. You know what? As I told everybody, this relates a little bit of a disconnect. I did not go to Walgreens to get my vaccine, but anyway, I'm half through it, and I got one of two doses here. So I'm a little bit different situation. When we get to the people that are somewhat younger, then we get to teenagers. I was thinking how that was gonna work. Come on, kids, let's go down to Walgreens. Hi, Dad. No, well, good luck. Yeah, good luck, and we'll monitor that. I have a feeling that getting kids to put on their seatbelts and getting them to go get a shot is going to be similar. In Chicago, this is Elisa Schechner writing in Chicago Tribune. This is, I read this because it's so different from what my story was, but I think the point is that there's no one paradigm for the whole vaccination deal. Ashley J. Dearborn is a resident of Chicago. She'd been looking forward to her second dose of the Pfizer vaccine, like I am, which was scheduled weeks ago and supposed to take place yesterday at the Gold Coast Walgreens. We have a higher level of sinusitis. Anyway, she woke up to an unpleasant surprise Tuesday. An email from Walgreens canceling her appointment. She called the store and learned that it only had the Moderna vaccine, not Pfizer, which she needed to match her first dose. It's not mix and match. She said, "I freaked out. How can you cancel the less than 24 hours? She said, I have to go through this whole merry-go-round Hunger Games scenario again. A number of people who made appointments at Walgreens found themselves in a similar predicament, scrambling to find the same brand of vaccine for their second dose as their first. Again, and I wish that I could have this woman and she and I could have gone together. I went to a hospital in Chicago, one of the systems that I'm part of. When I went in, this was the Pfizer, they immediately scheduled the second appointment. One hopes that they checked. Do I have enough in the fridge? I mean, I'm sure they do. Well, I'm not sure they do, but I guess they will. Anyway, that was not the situation with this woman, Ms. Dearborn. So I throw that out to tell you that we're all on our own, something like that. All right. I said this before in the air. I'll say it one more time. If for any reason you really cannot figure out how to get vaccinated, you've exhausted all the stuff that you heard about, drop me an email personally, radioanything@gmail.com, and we will see what's what. Okay. All right. Tell you what, let's... let's tour Wrigley Field next. You want to do that? Okay. Well, all right. On the way, we'll hear some AJR.
It's getting muddy out. There's LA, but it's always kinda sunny out. And I don't wanna hurt no more. So I set my bar real low. I'm A-okay. You say it, but you just don't mean it. You're so insane. Shut up and just enjoy this feeling. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad. Don't you love it, don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad. Sucks, but it's sucking just a little now. And I don't wanna cry no more. So I set my bar real low. I'm A-okay. You say it, but you just don't mean it. You're so insane. Shut up and just enjoy this feeling. Don't you love it, don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less. Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad. I may be wrong. It's stupid, but it's all I have. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad.
Well, I can't fall asleep and I'm losing my mind, 'cause it's half past three and my brain's on fire. I've been counting sheep, but the sheep all died. And I'm trying too hard, but I can't not try.
Well, I can't fall asleep and I'm losing my mind, 'cause it's half past three and my brain's on fire.
Don't you love it, don't you love it, no, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad. I may be wrong, I may be wrong. It's stupid, but it's
That's AJR. I like that band. Spark turned me on to them. That is a song called Way Less Side. Way Less Sad. That's close. It's a quarter after the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago on a bright and, not warm, but a bright bright Wednesday here. I mentioned tomorrow's opening day here in Chicago. You know what? Can I pontificate a little bit? Do you mind? In fact, I'll tell you what. Let's do this, Rain. I'm going to bring up the proper ambiance if I could. Hey, Bruce. I once saw this guy perform at Wrigley. So tomorrow is the opening day for the Cubs. They open here in Chicago. Cool. We'll do a little duet, me and the boss here. So, I want to say the following. Of all the things that I missed in the COVID era here, and we're still in it. I guess it was baseball. You know, I used to, that was my only thing. I would wake up, not even going to games that much, but I would wake up in the morning and like a geek, look at the box scores and follow everything. So this is funny. About 5 minutes ago, I knew I was going to mention opening day tomorrow. I didn't even know who they were playing. It's Pittsburgh. I had to look it up. So my point is that, you know, we have this long for baseball fans, this long drought. And I hope tomorrow is the start of something better. I said that I'd only been half vaccinated, so I'm not going to go. But I'll tell you what, I probably would if I had had both shots. So, and I'm looking at the whole thing here. The Chicago Tribune has a nice series on stuff. A lot of good photos by a guy named Jose M. Osorio. Takes pictures for the Trib. Anyway, a couple things about it. For one thing, the building that I'm sitting in here, where we do the Pirate show from in the morning, it was built about the same year as Wrigley. It was. When we first saw it, actually, we've got some ivy on one of the walls here. So there's always been kind of a symbiosis with that and with Wrigley. Now, going way back, I was trying to figure the first year I was in Wrigley Field. It was probably like 1964. I'd grown up in Indiana, you know, and I watched the Cubs on TV, black and white TV, pretty much every afternoon after school. It's what I did. And I went into Wrigley Field, and wow, I saw it in color for the first time. So this is, I'll give you a little one here. Bruce, we're going to bring you back in a second. What I'd always seen on TV, if you can picture this, I'm watching in black and white, and let's say the Cubs score a run, right? So at the end of the game, you could see that they changed the one on the big manual scoreboard to a one. I thought, what? So I finally figured it out when I finally got there in real life. That one, it's during the inning when it's live, it's yellow. And they change it to a white one, right? Wow. That was only the first of many epiphanies that I had with Wrigley. So I'm looking at all the stuff here. And to start with, they're going to fill up to 25% of Wrigley. That's a 41,000 seat ballpark. And there's all kinds of stuff here. And as I read this, I thought to myself, you know, this is the future. this is the future. For example, instead of paper tickets, fans will use mobile tickets with a barcode. Each mobile ticket's going to come with assigned locations for concessions, for merchandise, and for restrooms to prevent crowding. I have a comment about Wrigley Field restrooms in a second. All right, fans are going to scan their own tickets at no-touch pedestals at the entrance of Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. Signage, I'm looking at some of the pictures here, is going to be throughout the stadium, telling telling fans, hey, by the way, stay home if you're sick, maintain social distance, and everybody over two has got to wear a mask. All right, that's the new rule. Additionally, the rules for what bags and belongings can be brought to the ballpark have changed. If you've gone to Wrigley, you know, one of the things, particularly for women that have bags or things like that, there's there's a bag line, and there's a guy with a, or a woman with a stick, and they go through to make sure you're not bringing in contraband. Anyway, they're not going to do the following. Bags or wallets cannot be larger than 9 inches by 5 inches, and diaper bags for people with kids are still allowed, so... Mm-hmm. All right, I'm saying it's gonna, and when the COVID comes, when it lifts, I think all the stuff's gonna be more or less in place. That's why I'm going through this. One way for fans to pay for concessions this season at Wrigley uses the QR code. You know QR codes? QR codes? Oh, yeah, we got one of those. On an iPhone now, I don't know what kind of phone you have. On an iPhone, you don't really even need an app. You just take a picture and it'll give you that thing. So finally, oh my goodness. Quick personal story. The highlight of my tepid and soon to probably come to a close broadcasting career was filling in for a rain delay many years ago at Wrigley. And how did I get that distinction? Here's how media works. I was living in the closest to Wrigley Field. So when it started to rain, they called me up, so can you come down? So yeah. That and in that era, that game, my voice was coming over the PA in the bathrooms at Wrigley Field. Just take a moment and let that sink in. The thing is, though, and I'll finish this with a personal note. So I, back in, what is it, 1964? So I'm 12 or 13. I go to Wrigley Field. Let me explain, and this is one of the few times I'm going to be a male here. Women would not know this, but the bathrooms were, and I don't know if they're going to be any different, the bathrooms were the male bathrooms, the men's bathrooms, at Wrigley did not have urinals. They had troughs. What? You know what a trough is? You've seen like a Western movie where the horse comes in and laps. That's what, I'm sorry. That's what they were. I walk into the bathroom and I'm thinking, I got to do my business standing next to these people in a trough. Jimmy Walker and the All-Stars. It's 26 after the hour here on Pirate Radio from Chicago. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to fly up to Wisconsin virtually and talk about cheese. I'm very curious and eager to talk to Cesar Luis, I believe is his name. I'll ask him how to pronounce that. He makes cheese. Talk about that. Yeah, all right. We're trying to get you salivating in the morning here. This is the day in 1889 when the Eiffel Tower officially opened in Paris. I have an odd story. I was in Paris once. I was mugged on the subway on the way to the Eiffel Tower. I actually was. It turned out okay. By some ruffians. Anyway, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. You know about Chicago history? The big Ferris wheel at the World's Columbian Exposition in the 1890s here in Chicago, that was our answer to the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. You didn't know that? All right, let me explain how that thing works. Should we do some wind?
The Eiffel Tower is one of the world's most famous selfie backdrops, but it's also home to a little-known apartment with an intriguing history steeped in science and secrecy. The Eiffel Tower was unveiled in Paris as the piece de resistance of the 1989 World's Fair. It was engineered as a testament to France's technological machinations and as a monumental way to mark the 100th anniversary of the French Revolution. Gustave Eiffel, whose company designed and built the tower, added a number of furtive extras to it, ranging from a secret apartment to telegraph and radio broadcast equipment. It was this apartment that may have saved the Eiffel Tower from being torn down as a temporary exhibit left over from the World's Fair, a demolition that was slated for 20 years from the time of its debut. Turns out, the French government discovered and appreciated the wireless, yes, wireless, in 1889, telegraph transmitter and radio antenna so much that it opted to keep and care for the tower indefinitely. In 1903, just 6 short years before the tower was set to be demolished, Eiffel doubled down on his invitations to scientists to host brainy discussions and conduct research from within the tower's little-known apartment. The apartment, about 1,000 feet or 300 meters off the ground, was outfitted with cozy rugs, chairs, and other comforts, but it also had adjacent spaces to serve as mini laboratories. From this bird-level apartment, the atmosphere was measured, the stars and planets were observed, and the bounds of physics were explored by some of the greatest minds of the late 19th and early 20th century. And in 1903, a French captain experimented with wireless broadcast signals, eventually sending signals as far as North America. The Eiffel Tower and its scientific purpose became too important to the French government to be torn down. Just a few years later, the tower would play a vital role in World War I when the French military used the wireless communicators to transmit to ships in the Atlantic Ocean. Today, the Eiffel Tower receives about 7 million visitors each year, and those who purchase a ticket to the top of the tower can look through a window at the apartment where Thomas Edison once conversed with Eiffel and other invitation-only guests.
Wow.
Else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. real to real. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. So you better listen to the voice of reason. But they don't give you any choice, cause they think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told.
Elvis Costello with Radio Radio, live from the Eiffel Tower or something like that. 32 after the hour, it's Pirate Radio from Chicago. I thought let's make something up here. I wanted to do a little thing, I mean, like games and quizzes and stuff like that in the morning. I was trying to think how to make this one work. I got it for you. I got it. It's called Identify the Voice. Yeah. All right, this guy has a birthday today. I'm going to play him. And I'll tell you what. Tell you what, if you know who this is and you're the first to send me an email, it's radioanything@gmail.com and identify who it is, I will award you something. I will. All right, this will be fun. You ready? Okay. Mystery voice. Here it comes. He's walking up behind me. Here he is. Who is this?
You watch those nature documentaries on the cable?
Yeah.
You see the one about lions?
Yeah.
Look at this lion. He's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out there. He's laying down under a tree in the middle of Africa. He's so big. He's so hot. He doesn't want to move. Now, the little lion cubs, they start messing with him. Biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. The lioness, she starts messing with him, coming over, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they notice this, and they start to move in. The jackals, hyenas, they're barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat the food that's in his domain. They do this, and they get closer and closer and bolder, till one day, that lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
Who was our mystery voice? Who was that? Can you come up with it? See how awake you are. Radioanything@gmail.com. What's that in the back? No, I'm afraid that was not SpongeBob.
Mucha muchacha. Mucha muchacha. Mucha muchacha. Mucha muchacha, mucha muchacha, mucha muchacha. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop
mucha muchacha, mucha muchacha, mucha muchacha, mucha muchacha.
Hello, muchacha.
No, no, me muchacho, you cha-cha. You know, like me Tarzan, you Jane. Me muchacho, you muchacha.
Oh, you muchacho, me muchacha.
Wow.
Ooh, much of a girl. Mucha muchacha.
That's the house band. Well, it could be. That's Esquivel. I love his stuff. And I'm obsessed. This is funny. I was watching The Big Lebowski last night for easily the dozenth time. And that song is in there. There's so much going on. I didn't exactly grab that. So anyway, Esquivel. It's 22 before the hour here. Our cheese guy is somewhere... in a mountain of curds. We couldn't locate him. So we'll see how that works. However, who I really wanted to talk to this morning is Aaron, the news baron, and he joins us. Morning. How are you?
Hello, good morning.
You put on your glasses just then. Wow, you look yes, like you're about to draw a bead on something. So... let's do something functional here. I woke up this morning. I was trying to make sense of the news and trying to make something interesting out of it. The infrastructure is so critical and so dull, but we'll work on it. But Democrats in Congress, it says here, are quietly splintering over how to handle the expansive voting rights bill. We had all this, I don't know what you'd call it. Allegations of voter, hanky panky, and then they turned around and actually, I think, managed to have some pretty specific voter suppression that we know about. So, all right. Anyway, we're trying to figure this out. What are the issues and what's going on?
Yeah. So we're discussing the John Lewis Voting Rights Bill in part, which is H.R. 4. Then there's H.R. 2, which is another voting rights bill, but they're trying to move them together or just move H.R. 4 and add some stuff into it. But to give a breakdown of what's in it that people have a big tussle about, as it requires states with a history of discrimination to get approval from Congress before changing any of these voting laws. So the whole states' rights conversation comes in here. Then it allows courts to block new voting legislation on a wider range of circumstances and gives the attorney general the freedom to step in if things seem to be going amiss. But this is fundamental to our democracy, but it's also response to Republican-led efforts. Basically, there's 253 bills in 43 states. Oh, that was only between November and February 19th to restrict voting access. And since then, 53 more bills have come up. And the majority of these are in Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which are, in the general election, the most contentious.
Shame on them. I'm sorry, that was an editorial comment. Yeah. It was.
You're not wrong there.
I don't know how to start with. But again, we're talking about an outgoing president who cheats at golf. I mean, there nothing is moral there. I just dropped a stack of something there. I think we need to keep monitoring it. What do you know about boycotting Coca-Cola? Is that on your radar at all? Has anybody talked about that?
That one is super, super interesting. I'd love to get into it. I personally don't drink Coke to begin with. Yeah. Partaking a different... No, kidding. But I don't know. I think... So the thing about that is that in Georgia, they passed this new bill, right? Where it criminalizes passing out water and food to voters in line. It stripped a bipartisan electoral board. So now the Republican-led Senate state house has control of that. Replaced one of the five seats on the board. And remember, it was only that one specific person on the bipartisan electoral board that stops Trump from, you know, taking things over, and they replaced that seat. So now they have control over who has that third seat, creating that majority. So now they're saying that Coca-Cola, which is a huge corporation in Georgia, should step up, but they're silent, not saying anything.
I guess
they need to say something. I don't know.
I got
to
run. You're prohibited from giving people water in line if they're voting, or food.
It criminalizes. So you can go to jail.
All right. Yes. For giving somebody water.
Even Lindsey Graham couldn't even respond to that.
Have you been to Atlanta in the summer?
This summer, no. My sister goes to Clark Atlanta University.
So I think the message there, Aaron, is if you want to vote, we're going to make it as painful for you as possible. Jeez, that's really too bad. All right, I'm going to get into that more. One of my colleagues, I saw a Twitter feed talking about boycotting Coca-Cola, and jeez.
What is the thought process behind that?
I don't know. I'm going to find out though. Coke's an interesting company. I was down in Atlanta once. I went through I did the tour, which is, I go to a lot, you know, do a lot of visitor tourist stuff. It's really one of the better tours you can get. It's very cool. And I think that at the risk of sounding something here, I think Coke has been a pretty good corporate, you know, citizen. So anyway, that surprised me. I don't know what the hell they're doing. So I'm sorry that really the worst news there is that you don't drink Coke.
So. Right. Yeah.
Do you know what Mexican Coke is? This will get me in trouble.
And it actually is different. They use real cane sugar instead of syrup.
Yes, they do. Yeah. So anyway, well, that's a thing. We should do a thing on Coke. And really, my apologies to my friends and farmers in Iowa who grow corn. But high fructose corn syrup pretty much replaced cane sugar. And whether that's good for you, I don't know. But it does taste different. So anyway, so Mexican Coke sort of started coming over the border. And it was really funny that Coke tried to stop that happening. There was a little, I had, like I was making a drug deal. Do you have the Mexican Coke? So
I mean, Coca-Cola did used to have actual cocaine in it.
It did, yeah. That's what Coca stands for. It still perks me up. But I don't think that's the reason.
So sorry to go off in here. Yeah. They're actually trying to bring back cacao leaves to the recipe.
Yeah.
They're actually going to bring cacao leaves back. They're trying to bring it to some countries.
Oh, man, we got to think about that. I don't know what that's going to be. You know, that's going to be like the CBD that you get from hemp. You know, it's going to be
right.
It's going to like putting a condom on your drug. I don't know, something like that. You know, but it'll take something off that. All right. I think we will, we'll do that. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to make a note here. Let me see if we can call down there. Maybe Natasha and I can tag team. We'll see if we can get some sort of a tour of Coke, right? Tour of the Coca-Cola Company.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be neat. And we'll ask him, wow, is this stuff different?
Today's a recipe?
Hang on a second, could you?
Type 2 diabetes can have a big impact on your life, but how can it be prevented? Well, the first step is knowing if you have prediabetes, a serious medical condition that puts you at high risk for type 2 diabetes. 1 in 3 American adults has prediabetes, but more than 80% don't know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversed. And for many people, healthy changes in their daily routine can make a big difference. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
There you go. It's a quarter before the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright along with Aaron Mittens, our newsman, the news baron. Aaron, before I launch into something I really wanted to ask you about, a rare 1963 Chrysler turbine car has been sold for an unknown but surely huge amount just after one day after being listed by a classic car dealer. I didn't even know there were turbine cars back in 1963.
Yeah.
What about that? Anything interesting?
Was it like a water-powered engine, like a boiling water turbine type thing?
I don't know. Well, in 1963, God only knows. So, all right.
I would imagine it's steam powered. Sorry to say water, but I don't know.
All right.
And that sounds cool, though.
And then in unrelated breaking news, I just noticed that one of my neighbors is apparently driving a Tesla. So So. Uh-huh.
Hey, they're slowly encroaching on society.
Elon Musk is the most visible guy in the world, man. Every morning, I would say I can't avoid him. I'm not trying to, but yeah. Jeez. All right, turbine cars, my neighbors. But most important, you sent me a note. Boy, this, I think we better go to dreamland here. News about Amazon. Amazon's Twitter army was handpicked for its great sense of humor. Is this true?
Yes, yes.
Crack a couple of jokes. Let's go.
I mean, I'm not the joking type, but I'll try. So basically, in 2018, Amazon started this project called Veritas, which is really interesting. It was part fake online account pretending to be Amazon ambassadors. And also, they had some employees that they kind of got and selected for, in part, their great sense of humor.
You broke up a second there. Give me the first part. It was a fake account, what?
Oh yeah, so they used some fake accounts. So Twitter, this story came out because Twitter purged a bunch of fake Amazon employees that are rooting, you know, for the Amazon and their positions. Okay. But in part, there were actual employees as well that were real, that were ambassadors chosen in part for the great sense of humor.
Yeah.
So they found documentation on this program. And it provides examples of how to defend Jeff Bezos. And they were tasked to defend Amazon and purposefully go against policymakers like Bernie Sanders in a, quote, blunt manner.
And I'm like a dog with a bone. So the humor part of it, these people were officially designated as funny by Amazon, right?
Exactly.
Is there an algorithm that we don't know about? Or what was the... Wouldn't you like
there's a boardroom. There's a boardroom with a clicker, and they're saying, "What do you think about this one? What do you think about that one?"
My mind is racing. I know you know what karaoke is.
Yes.
And yes. Mostly that's where you go into a bar. Not that you've had any drinks, but maybe you had a couple of non-Mexican cokes, and you stand up and feelings. You know, you've seen this. Right. The one of the things though they now have I've seen is comedy karaoke. Where they give you the script and the jokes, and you attempt to follow your way through this joke or this comedy routine. So I'm thinking maybe that's what they did. Maybe that was the Amazon final exam.
Ed, kind of like a live Mad Libs, I would say.
That's right. All right. Jeez. Okay. I'm gonna research that more. All right, Mr. Mittens. Thank you very much. And what's in your world today? You know what? I'm gonna blindside you. Do you mind? What happened to Betsy? Your bread? Did she pass away?
I hate to say it, Betsy is holding on for dear life.
Yeah, she's still
her
alive.
Her limbs are slowly deteriorating. I'm trying to see how long I can keep it there before it explodes.
This is the sourdough bread. All right.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Thank you. So she's on life support.
She's hooked up to the IV.
Oh my goodness. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you.
Send this one out to Betsy. Get well soon, baby.
But see, pretty woman, and you look lovely. guess I'll go on home. It's late. There'll be tomorrow night. But wait, what do I see?
That's Roy the O. That's Roy Orbison on Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's 7 before the hour. It's Gary Lee Wright. Tomorrow on the program here, as I said, in Chicago, it's opening day in Wrigleyville. My buddy Chicago Al is going to join us. Al's a baseball guy. Al met Satchel Paige. He did. We're going to talk about the Negro Leagues. And we're going to talk, that's old baseball, and we're talking about new baseball, and maybe we'll knit all that together. So please join us. That is tomorrow. Friday, attempted Easter on the show. I thought we would try to, I thought we'd try to color eggs. Huh? You know me, though. I don't fake it. If we do that, we're going to have to get some eggs. I just realized, I just looked in my refrigerator, all my eggs are brown. I know that sounds like a lyric. All my eggs are... the difference between brown and white is between brown and white. They're the same idea. But I don't think you'd want to color a brown egg. So I am going to work on that. We'll make that... I hope we'll make that happen by Friday. This story I'm going to read you. There's so much in here. A, we're living in the future. B, thank God we have science in people's heads. C, young people will save the world. And D, what next? In the country's oldest science fair, a 17-year-old high schooler named Dacia Taylor submitted a surgical suture, you with me, stitches, that changes color to warn of possible infections. The invention is aimed at helping surgery patients in Africa. Infections, health, everything, very, very challenging there. She made it to the 40 finalists of the National Regeneron Science Talent Search. So get this. She started in 2019 at her chemistry class at Iowa City West High School. I have this wrong? That's where the University of Iowa is. All right, I think so. She's over here. Her method uses beetroot. Beetroot, famous. Beetroot. All right, you use beetroot to. It's a natural red dye, turns things red or purple. I don't want you to fall asleep here. The pH, pH of her skin is acidic. It's about 5 normal pH. While an infected wound raises that pH to a level of 9. And as that happens, the beets change color from candy apple to deep purple. How about that? I found that beets changed color at the perfect pH point, said Taylor to the Smithsonian. I like this. I hope she wins. That's perfect for an infected wound. And so I was like, okay. So like beets are where it's at. Our producer is Natasha Rodriguez.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying, "I love you." I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.